If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
Say you want a revolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 347. I'm Matt Durson.
I'm John Hunt.
I'm Clay Inferno.
Here we are. It's big moving day in Boston. So
big
like,
day. Alston Christmas.
Yeah, Alston Christmas. If you want a table or anything, it's all out there. But
various
I would recommend taking mattresses. Mattresses are bad. Don't take anyone else's mattress. That's right. I mean, that's just gross.
Yeah, especially with bed bugs around here.
Yeah, bed bugs is a thing around here. It's gross.
The one thing I saw, like, Universal Hub tweeted, they were like, hey, look what I found. And it was like a 100-year bottle of, like, Crevassier cognac that somebody just threw out.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, you know, like, completely, like, sealed up and everything, you know?
Yeah, it's so weird, the stuff that people throw away that... I don't know.
The guy was like, I don't really drink booze, but this is pretty awesome. Tastes good.
Yeah, I'll drink it. I have two new neighbors. I haven't met them yet, but I hope they're cool. I hope they're cooler than the last ones. They were a little weird, so. In fact, I called them the weirdos. I hope they're not listening, but it's all right. The weirdos are gone, and so we'll see.
There's no U-Hauls on my street or anything. Got nothing.
Oh, wow. There were like four of them yesterday, and one guy was trying to get, because it's a pretty narrow street anyway, and this guy was like pulling his U-Haul down. He was going really slow, and then there was a car parked there, and I was walking by and I just heard like,
oh my God.
Oh, I did that once. when I used to drive a truck, I accidentally pulled a guy's bumper off the front of his car. Hopefully he's not listening.
Yep, well.
Hopefully the Xfinity Center isn't listening. The last time I worked down there, I like totally crushed in like the front quarter panel like of a van on a big wall in the back parking lot there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I assume neither of you said anything.
Oh, actually I did.
I had to because I like
just in case, but you know. And the poor guy had a parking ticket on his car on top of the fact that I ripped off the front of it.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I felt real, you know.
Should have been like, here's the $40 for the ticket, and sorry about the bumper, but...
Yeah, here's a gift certificate to Chili's to make you feel better.
I returned my van to the van rental place, and I like, had my like credit card out. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Like, I was rented this van for work. They're like, don't worry about it. Your work pays for like the insurance that's on it.
I did that when I lived in L.A., like, and I scraped up the bumper of a car, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
We're all great drivers.
I know. I was renting it, and I was like, I'm so sorry. And they were like, oh, do you want another car? Like, they didn't even care.
You're like, cool, yeah, I'll wreck another one.
Yeah, and I was like, no, I've already wrecked this one. I better just keep it. And I kind of liked it. It was a nice little red.
Is that the one? Yeah, we were tooling around L.A., and yes?
Yeah, we were tooling around. Yeah,
tooling.
Keep it.
Couple tools and tooling
yeah,
around.
Yeah, right. That's what we did. We tooled around because we were tooled.
Yes.
We ticked people off. Well, anyways, yeah, so it's Alston Christmas. I have to say, though, so I walked by this apartment complex on the way to work, and there were 20 mattresses just thrown out, like, in the dumpster.
Well, thrown out, but...
What do you think happens to them?
But they get thrown out.
Yeah, brought to landfill.
Yeah, that's what I mean. No, they get thrown out, but I mean, what a waste. Like, because they don't look that bad.
You could give them to a homeless shelter or something.
That's what I'm saying.
But
you know what I mean?
Like,
but if we were talking about bed bugs, then, well, that sounds all good.
As soon as it's outside, it's like, you know.
But it's so bad. Like, it's so wasteful. There probably been, I'm betting you $1 million, there was Well, not $1 million.
But I'm betting you a million of them thrown out mattresses.
I don't know why we got onto this mattress cast, but think about what a mattress is made out of, though. It's like wood and springs and cloth. So it like will eventually, all that stuff will break down.
The springs are going to break down in like 1,000 years.
Yeah, what, but it's metal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's plastic.
It's still not good for the environment to have them. The springs are inside. It'll take, forget it. It doesn't matter. I know what you're saying, Clint.
Yeah, but like in the overall, all the mattresses in the world that get thrown away, which is probably a lot.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they get into one of those. Have you ever seen those YouTube videos or whatever where it's like just a giant, like it's almost like something that James Bond would fall in. It's like a huge, like, you know what I mean? Like one of those.
Oh,
like,
I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they end up in there. It just seems wasteful. I know you're right. They can't donate to a homeless shelter because they're already lousy with bed bugs, probably. But my point is, like, it's probably some international student that came for the summer, and now they're leaving, and they just throw their mattress away. You know what I mean? So they probably slept on it like 3 months.
Yeah, that's fucking millennials.
Yeah, BU is like ComAv is really annoying. I was riding my bike on it. Super annoying down there.
Yeah.
Well, don't get me started on people that ride their bikes. God, they're always in the way.
They're all year, not even just this
week. They're all year round, yeah.
Oh, well, anyways, what else is going on in the world of not comics? Which John doesn't read anyway.
Well, I know. I was thinking about the last time I was on, and you guys were talking about all those comics that sounded horrible. I was like, wow, I really...
Actually, well, here's some really good comics this week.
Oh, yeah, we told you, remember... Those. You might remember, John, we told you to read Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've kind of soured on it already.
Wow, that was only like 3 weeks ago.
It was like a couple issues. Maybe Clay can
I somehow help. Missed, I guess like through my like stack of like pile that I like didn't read, I like somehow missed 3, and then I was like too lazy to go read it, but I thought 4 was pretty cool.
Okay, so here's what's going on. Somehow, through just like him and Dr. Kirk Peter Parker and Dr. Kirk Connors were like examining the machine that irradiated the spider that bit him.
Okay.
Like back, you know, in like 40 years ago.
Isotope genome accelerator.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Good job, Clay.
I'm just saying.
So somehow, like, some bad guys attacked and Peter Parker got bumped into the machine. And separated him and Spider-Man. Like, so there's a Spider-Man and there's a Peter Park. And they're different things. But they're basically, like, they don't use the word clones because I guess, obviously, clone is bad in, you know,
it's kind of like a multiple man situation.
Yeah, it's kind of like a multiple man situation. Almost like a Hulk and a Bruce Banner kind of a thing, I guess.
Yeah, except, but they're separate. Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, there was that time they separated the Hulk and Bruce Banner.
Yeah. So, and it's kind of like that because, like, it's making, like, because it's only, I don't know, it's like Peter Parker is becoming, like, dumber almost or something. I don't know. It's
Spidey is, like, kind of like the Spider-Man he was before Uncle Ben died. Like, he's just kind of like a joker. And
yeah,
like,
he goes on TV shows.
And he's, like, yeah, collecting all these checks.
He's the Joker.
No, he's not. Daffy Duck.
Not the Joker, but a Joker.
Okay.
But yeah, like, and he's like, he's going on TV shows. Yeah, and he's getting paid, and he's just like murdering. He's not like murdering, but he kind of is carelessly dealing with these criminals, like, without worrying about, like, oh no, but they're people too, or whatever. Not, you know, I mean, it's he's got this big robot that he's like using. It's
sorry.
No, this is what happened.
You're right. Oh, this does sound terrible.
This is great. And then, like, literally by issue 4, I was like, this is not good.
Who's
what issue are we on now? 5?
Right. No, this is Nick 4. Spencer. Ryan Otley's on art.
Yeah. Not too good. I don't know. I don't get it. And there's also this other villain who... I thought it was Silvermane. You remember Silvermane, right?
Yeah, I remember him.
But he doesn't. He's not. He just looks like him, and he's
like the robotic Silvermane, or just the old man Silver. Okay.
No, the robotic. I mean, he was still old.
Yeah,
he was like old. A guy who worked with Doc Ock or whatever, and I don't know. It's just, I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. I know, obviously, they'll be back together, and you know, pretty soon. But it's just weird. Mm. I don't know.
Sounds weird.
Yeah. For a little while, for Peter Parker, it was pretty good because he was like, "Yay! I don't have to fight crime, and I'm back in Mary Jane, and I just can just do
didn't
stuff.
They kill Mary Jane too, or something?
What?
Oh, okay. I guess I read something online.
Did that happen?
I thought Mary Jane was dead. I thought he said something to someone.
Oh no, I didn't.
It was like a really weird drawing of Spider-Man too. It was Jessica Jones or something.
She killed Mary Jane?
No, she was investigating something, and then he said Mary Jane was dead. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened. Yikes. Well, I missed it.
I don't know. Anyways. I really love the art on this, and I missed issue 3 to get as bummed out as you were about it, but I thought issue 4 was pretty good.
So how did you know what was even happening, or...? I don't even remember what happened in issue 3.
So. No, I didn't read it yet. I just read issue 4. You just got me caught up on the history of what was going on.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, but what are you going to do? I guess you got to... You've done everything with Spider-Man.
And they have these Tri-Sentinels.
Yeah. Yeah, the Tri-Sentinels are... Yeah.
I like the multiple Spider-Man, like their different personalities, like acting off each other.
But what does Spider-Man do when he's like, does the Spider-Man side do anything when he's not Spider-Man, or is he literally Spider-Man all the time?
I think he's just Spider-Man all the time.
Where did the costume come from? Where do the webs come from?
Where does he sleep?
Right!
That's okay? A really good question. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I mean, not that maybe I'm overanalyzing it and we shouldn't care because it's just a comic book, but like what there's this, that's what I, this storyline just is so
silly. Yeah, he
should
have his own little, like, or he should have like the Punisher, like a little place in the subway. That's like,
yeah, a little abandoned warehouse somewhere.
Or like one of those water tower things.
Yeah. I mean, does he eat? What's he spending all his
always eating churros.
On?
People are always buying him churros.
Yeah, oh, nice lady bought me a churro. You know what I mean? Like, it was one thing. It's like, oh, okay, the Hulk and Bruce Banner are separated, and the Hulk is just this mindless monster destroying everything. Bruce Banner is, like, able to go along and marry Betty and all this stuff. But, like, Spider-Man, like, there's a lot of unanswered questions.
And Aunt May apparently has taken up online poker and killing it. She's killing it lately. So she has
that was actually kind of funny. She gave him
500 bucks.
Yeah, she's like, here you go.
Here's an early birthday
present.
I'm good
at online poker. I can make you plenty of wheat cakes. Oh, well. So, yeah, John.
Okay.
Sorry, I told you to read it, and now I'm telling you, don't. Don't.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Mary Jane died, but then came back to life a couple panels later, apparently, in Jessica Jones number 2.
Oh.
So there you go.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then it says, sorry, Spider-Man fans, Marvel just killed Mary Jane. This is like from 3 days ago.
3 days ago?
Yeah.
Did Jessica Jones, are they doing another Jessica Jones, maybe, I guess?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Where are you reading this?
ScreenRant.com.
ScreenRant.
Okay. So they kill Mary Jane and bring her back in two panels?
Yeah, I guess so. It seems like that's the thing.
Seems like a little clickbait, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You just got
bitches.
Clickbaited.
Yeah. It happens.
Speaking of Jessica Jones,
Jesse.
Bendis' new Jinx World book came out this week, too.
Yeah, Scarlet, right?
Scarlet.
I read that.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in it.
I don't either. I guess you had to read the old Scarlet, the original Scarlet. OG Scarlet.
OG, original.
To know what's going on. But, I mean, they give you that that little previously kind of page.
Yeah, I read, like, the solicit and still didn't understand. She's, like, gonna, like, she's gonna spark the new American Revolution or something.
Is that, I remember that original comic. I mean, I remember buying it and reading it. And I remember forgetting anything that happened in it.
So apparently what happened was she started this revolution because her boyfriend or whatever was killed, by these crooked cops, and then she went.
How did she start this revolution? I don't understand.
It seems like it's sort of like a social media type deal.
That doesn't seem like real life to me.
No.
It seems sort of the opposite of what would happen.
Well, I mean, whatever it was, people got behind it. It was supposed to be this, like, fight the power kind of thing, and people rose up. And now they have this sort of Dark Knight Rises kind of thing where, like, they're cut off from the rest of the world.
I like that. That's a good way to put that.
Thank you.
Very well.
But they blew up all the bridges and everything. And
it's all in Portland, Oregon, where he lives and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like... every time I look at this, I don't mean this in a bad way, but is this kind of like him doing Black Widow, but with like a little bit different of a character?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a girl with red hair. Does that mean it's black? It could be any. It could be Scarlet from G.I. Joe.
Scarlet from G.I. Joe. Just like that archetype, I guess. Like, it's...
I don't know. It's just this...
Do you think this can take off like Jessica Jones took off?
No, but I think it's good.
I think it's good too.
And it's great artwork. It's him and Maleev, who did Daredevil with.
You take it or Maleev it. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all night.
Did you get the David Mack cover?
Actually, I didn't. Did I?
Looks like there is one.
Did you say there isn't one?
No, it looks like there is one.
Okay.
It's funny.
Get that? Oh, I guess there is.
I mumbled in a weird way. My tongue got tied.
No, this is the. I mean, I don't know. No,
it's funny because there's a piece of text on the David Mack cover that's like a newspaper, and all of the other words are crossed out except for Brian Michael Bendis, David Mack, and then like other pieces of the story.
And Ramita.
They're coming out with a book called Cover that's out this week.
That's a different book. I thought this was like Cover, Cover A, Cover B.
No, it's a different book. And though that's their because
that's
they
misleading.
Created... No, it isn't.
That's misleading to someone like me.
It's just an ad for their next book. Which comes out this week. I don't know that there's a David Mack cover to this book.
An all-new six-issue series from the writers of Superman and Kabuki.
Yes. That would be Bendis and Mack.
Yeah. Is Superman and Kabuki a new title?
Superman and Kabuki would be great.
Good. So I think this Scarlet thing is cool. I mean, I guess you could make the comparison but she's not like
she's
a secret
like
agent. She's not a superhero. She's a regular person. I think that's kind of part of the idea is that, and she's almost kind of like, some people are almost kind of like, hey, we got to rise up and fight. And I think she's kind of like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. And I don't know. I like it. I'm going to see where it goes.
I was confused. She's doing this whole dialogue thing and like her word balloons are like in square.
Yes.
Who is she talking
every
to?
Every business book.
Is she just talking to herself?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Inner dialogue?
They do this every comic book. You know, it's like every Frank Miller comic book and every, you know what I mean? Like, who is Batman talking to?
Yeah, but the thing that's confusing is it looks like dialogue. Like, is she talking out loud? And her mouth's open in some of the panels, so I'm just like, is she talking to the whole crowd, or is she just talking to herself?
I don't know. She's talking to you, Clay.
I guess she's just talking to me. Buy my book.
I know, it is pretty weird. Why is her dialogue in square?
That was one thing that I really was confused about.
At one point, she's talking to people, because there are people here talking to her.
Then her dialogue balloons turn to regular round with tails.
But they're not round. They're still square.
there.
I think her dialogue is square through the whole thing. Her word balloons. Or no, so balloons at all.
They're squares.
Yeah.
Word squares.
Square balloons, maybe. So there's at the very end, like, to just to put the final touches on this, they get a call and it's the White House and they want to discuss. They want to, you know, they want to parlay. So, like, because they've been living in this, like, section of Portland that's been completely cut off. And yeah, now they want to. So I don't know. I guess that's cool. Hopefully it's not Trump. But
yeah.
Anyways, that's Scarlet. I enjoy it. You know,
you're going to enjoy it.
I'm enjoying it. I'm going to enjoy it. And it says, see you next issue with Scarlet TV update. So are they making that into a TV show already?
Yeah, actually, I guess they are. Well, not already, because this was a book that came out like a few years ago. So I don't know. I might have to go back and read that one, which apparently John did.
Yeah.
John, can you go into your recycling bin and dig that out? And so you can get it, send it to Matt.
Yeah, just ship it over to me.
It might be better if I just read it to you.
Oh, okay.
On the next podcast.
And her can you do the voices? And in this panel, her balloons are square.
What was that thing with Captain America's shield? The shield is
round. Ellipsed.
Oh yeah. Anyways, so that's, yeah, I know I spent so much of this podcast over the 347 episodes complaining about Bendis.
Now he's
and then he comes out with a new book, and I'm like, I'm going to buy it.
I'm going to enjoy it.
So it shows what a chump I am.
Cover.
Yeah, you are.
Cover.
I'm definitely going to buy cover. I don't know. Like, it's just what we always said. When it's one, he can do one character very well. But when he does a team, they're all the same. They're all jokey.
Yeah, they have one voice.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got one
other DC books.
No.
Did you see there was a Joker in Daffy Duck?
No, that wasn't at the store that when I went to buy it. I don't know what happened. I was like, I'm gonna buy that.
I'll send you my code for it.
Okay. I don't know why. I don't know what happened to my store, or either they just didn't buy that many, and by the time I got there, they were gone, or something happened, and they didn't get a lot of DC books or whatever, but I thought Joker and Daffy Duck would have been pretty funny.
It is. It's pretty good.
I kind of just wanted it for my collection. But
Your Daffy Duck collection?
Yeah, my Daffy Duck collection. And I told you, Clay, I also wanted to, just for the fun of it, I was going to buy Harley Quinn and Gossamer just because
I think Gossamer was this week. Amazing.
I didn't. I wasn't there.
Gossamer. There was a Catwoman Sylvester, too.
Yeah. No.
I know you're into that.
Nah, I don't care about that.
Nah. Mm. I read, actually, somebody new is writing Batgirl, and Batgirl and the Batgirl Annual were pretty. It's pretty good, pretty awesome. I'm digging it.
All right.
Is her name Marguerite Scott? I think so.
Yeah.
They're doing some cool stuff over there, and like Batgirl has to. She sneaks her way into the Gotham Police Department, and like. Is like innocently like, oh, I was just checking my dad's calendar. Do you have that on your? I thought you might would have it. And like, she just ends up stealing like all the intel she needs with a USB stick. And then at the end, she passes out.
And they get an ambulance. No.
Yeah. But there's a lot of action in these books, and she's got like cool motorcycle fight, and the motorcycle comes and catches up with her, like, just like in you know, all the Batman remotes that we're all familiar with, like
the Batman remote.
Yeah, you know, like they have it like in the video games, or like when like Michael Keaton is like, come here, Batmobile.
Yes,
so she's really good. I didn't like that, like, sort of like super PC, like Bat Batgirl of Burnside. Like, it was, like, super, like, hipster, like, pour over coffee and waxed mustache version. Now it's just back
waxed to mustache.
Yeah, and now it's just back to, like, gritty, like, all this.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about PC comics.
Right.
We didn't want to get spammed.
Just waxy mustache.
But, you know, if you have a little hair lip, you should wax it, you know, if you're a bat girl.
Yes, she should.
Right? Yep. I mean, you know. Oh, well. So it's Barbara Gordon, though, is what you're saying.
It's not Barbara, like, Gordon. And she's in Gotham. She's not in, like, the Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. I remember a little bit of that. I didn't buy too many of them, but.
She still has the same. No, she's got a new costume, I think, now, too. Yeah, they redesigned her costume. It looks badass.
So badass.
Always a big fan of Batgirl. Since Gail Simone.
Gail Simone. Gail Simone. Not talking about that guy either.
Mm. Did you get The Punisher?
Yeah. That was like a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
It was in my new since we had last talked.
Stack. Well, since we have last talked, but we haven't. We talked a couple weeks ago.
Punisher.
I don't remember what happened in it, but I remember buying it, and the art was cool, and.
And then it went into space.
Kind of dark and muddy.
Okay.
No, we
didn't like that.
Well, I like that. That's what Punisher's supposed to. I think that's what Punisher's supposed to be.
I think it's muddy. More like the colorists. I'm blaming the colorist.
Yeah, that's fuck like those guys. Those They're guys all a bunch of shitholes, shitheads.
I thought this was a little like photo, like they put people's real faces in the computer and then just had like Illustrator like draw a version of
the live trace option.
Yeah, and that's what it. I kind of didn't like the art on this. I think I have complaints all around.
Complaints wow, that won't around. Be on your I like it this podcast.
It won't. It won't be on that. But there was plenty of explosions.
Yeah, I mean, that's Punisher. It's supposed to be dark and explosions. That's all I want.
Yeah.
So he's out of the War Machine armor. It's the whole, back to basics.
Into the frying pan.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I bought this really weird book that I know that you didn't, but it's Web of Venom, Venom.
I didn't see that one. I was kind of curious, but I
had to get a curiosity factor, and so they, like, they apparently, the symbiotes have been around for a long time, which is a comic trope I don't really like when they say,
I don't like
oh,
that either.
This has been like, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been around for thousands of years and all that. But
right. I hate that crap. That's so dumb.
But they were like, they said that they, S.H.I.E.L.D. stumbled across like the symbiotes like in the 50s or something, and then they did some experiments on them, and then they sent them into the Vietnam War. And so Nick Fury appeals to Logan's sense of patriotism, and he goes, but I'm Canadian. He goes, doesn't matter. You need to come with me, and we need to go to the jungles of Vietnam and catch these symbiotes. And it's completely ridiculous, but it's kind of cool because it's old Nick Fury and Vietnam era Logan Wolverine, like, fighting symbiotes in the jungles of Vietnam. It's actually pretty fun.
All right. I read the Venom First Host book because it's by Mike Costa and Mark Bagley. So that's a pretty good team in my estimation.
Bagley.
But it's kind of, I mean, it's different, but it is kind of, it goes back to like.
I think these all tie together somehow.
Somehow they probably do. There's a thing where like he goes back. It's like back. A long time ago, during like the Kree-Skull War, like there was like a Kree soldier who had the Venom symbiote, and then he like gave it away. And he said, "Bring this back to our admiral or whatever." And he stayed behind to like hold them off while hold the Skrulls off while while everyone else escaped, kind of a thing. So then they come back to present day Venom, and he's hanging out in New York, and then there's a Skrull warrior lady comes and attacks him, and then at the end that Kree guy shows up again and says, "I want my symbiote back," and it's a whole. So I guess we're going back. Yeah. So like this, Venom the symbiote has been around for a long, long time.
I love that the new thing in comics is just like, hey, like, let's make every, like, side thing, like, an entire, not just a side story, but, like, an entire thing with, like, a multiverse full of different possibilities and stuff.
I know,
like Spider-Verse, and then, like, we have Venom, and then there's, like, the Old Man Logan universe, and then there's just, like, all these, like, you know, like, crazy multiverses inside of a universe that already has multiverses.
Right, they're doing that in Fantastic Four. They were doing it in, it's kind of it's a little tiresome. I think I said that like several podcasts ago. I was like, "Whoa, man, I'm getting a little tired of this."
You said that on episode 113.
Oh, really? I don't remember. No, it wasn't even that long ago.
That was John's favorite. He listens to it all the time.
Yeah.
Multiverse fatigue. I think I even called it that. That was the name of the episode.
Yeah, so that's. I feel like they're doing that with Venom now too. It's just like, hey, I have an idea. I want to do like a Kree Venom, okay, or I want to do like a Vietnam Venom, okay.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm sure it all relates to the movie. Right. I mean, you know, right?
I mean, it's. I guess.
All right.
I don't know. Does anyone care about the movie?
Nope.
No.
Does Marvel care about selling tickets to that movie?
I don't think Marvel cares, but Sony probably does. But, I mean, Marvel probably thinks they can sell comics based on the fact that there's a movie coming out, right?
Yeah, but so far they haven't done anything.
I was just like, is this a Venom and the Nom crossover I've been waiting for? I think I'm going to put it.
Venom?
Turns out it's not. Turns out it doesn't cross over with the Nom at all.
It is pretty funny they call it Venom. I mean, that's just a stupid
It's the stupidest, and literally why I bought it.
I mean, no, I saw the ad for it, and I was like, all right. Like, I maybe would have bought it, but it was not on the shelf, so whatever. Venom. It seems like you're taking a serious thing like the Vietnam War, and you're turning it into something goofy. But I guess they've used it in comics forever, so.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, they did World War II, too. I mean, Captain America and the Invaders and all that dumb shit.
Look, if you can't use war to make something stupid, then what? Well, I mean, point,
that wasn't the point I was making, but yeah.
That's the point they're making, is what I'm saying.
We can, it's real life, man.
Any more of these Marvel comics that you might have gotten?
Yeah, so speaking of Wolverine, this Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends came out. So sort of coming off all those four-issue series, you know, different groups looking for Wolverine's body. And turns out he's alive. Surprise, surprise.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
Yeah, you believe it. And
can you believe it?
This woman, I don't think we're supposed to know who she is. Whoop!
We know that. Whoa!
My microphone fell. Sorry.
That was good.
So this woman, Persephone, has been controlling Wolverine and making him kill children who will become mutants. Which seems like, if you want to get rid of mutants, it seems like that's going to take you a long time.
Yeah,
if you kill every child that has the DNA.
I did like how Daredevil and Tony Stark are like hanging out at the X-Mansion. This was a very good like X-Men comic.
It was kind of neat.
I love X-Men comics when they're like hanging out at the house.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't see Tony Stark and like Daredevil and
you never see them there.
Kitty Pryde all hanging out together, you know. So it's kind of cool that they are combining these people. They did that weird thing. I guess it was kind of cool with like they had these not like these four like bullets basically that are coming towards the Earth, and you have to sort of. If they hit, they would have killed everybody, of course. But Kitty Pryde did her like weird, like where she just like phased the Earth so that thing passed right into it.
Okay, this sounds great.
Wow, I didn't know you were that powerful. Bad? And she says, "No, I didn't know either. I mean, I'm not just maybe I'm not describing it all that well, but
You said,
or maybe it's not that good. You decide." But yeah, I mean, it was a little weird. Like, okay, so this woman wants to exterminate mutants before they become mutants. But I mean, how many of them? I mean, are there thousands and thousands of those, or are there like 20?
Just call up the Scarlet Witch again and say no more mutants.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah. Well, it relates to like they had like somehow they had the DNA of everyone on Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
What happened there?
That's I don't know. That's what happened. Like in the in the Iron
you,
Man,
you just sort of disappeared.
Oh, I did.
You were like that, and then you were back. You made this loud crashing noise.
Oh, nothing happened there.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Well, what happened was they had the DNA of every person on Earth, as I said, in the Iron Man story of this Hunt for Wolverine thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, whatever. It's just a cash grab that they're using Wolverine's, you know, like, name. But he
but
will
you
return.
You actually see Wolverine in this.
Yeah, he's hanging and whatever. He will return in the aptly named Return of Wolverine.
Whoa.
The surprisingly named Return of Wolverine.
But, hey, whatever.
Darrison, are you reading Daredevil?
Well, I'm buying Daredevil.
Oh.
I haven't read an issue in like 3 months at least, but I got a bunch of them.
Well, much like in the Spider-Man, Matt used to pretend he was his twin brother Mike Murdock, and all of a sudden a real Mike Murdock has shown up in Daredevil's world. And
wait a minute.
Why do you guys just keep making stuff up? You're doing this to throw me off. Right? You're like, here, let's come up with all these ridiculous storylines just to see if John's paying attention.
John will, wait a minute. I didn't know this. Wait, Daredevil told everyone that he had a twin brother, Mike?
Yeah. This is like.
Wasn't that in like the 60s?
This is a Daredevil thing. It's like established already. But he would like he would do like the Batman and Superman thing where it's like they, you know, he dresses up like his twin brother Mike to throw people off the scent of him being Daredevil.
Superman did that?
No, like Superman will stand in for Batman.
Oh, I see what
you know what I mean? Like, so
Didn't Spider-Man dress up for Daredevil once or something?
Yeah, Spider-Man and Daredevil do it. But then, so, like, somehow Mike Murdock has, like, manifested itself, and they're trying to get to the bottom of where this guy came from.
Does he look
He looks exactly like Matt. He's, like, his...
Did he get pushed into the thing that turned Spider-Man into two people?
Yeah, maybe. Because it was pretty bad when that happened. Let's do it in Daredevil, because it's so bad.
I actually think that you like the story. Pretty good.
Oh, all right. I guess I'll have to catch up on my
Charles Soule.
Well.
And that guy, that inhuman like FBI guy that was the Hunt for Wolverine series, he's in it too.
All right,
sold.
You know how much we love Inhumans on this podcast.
Well, you read that one, didn't you?
So I have to admit, I sold all of those books on eBay.
You sell all your comics on eBay. Why would anyone?
Well, not all of them. The ones that I'm like, well, I read that, and I'm never going to read that again. So instead of recycling them, I just put them on eBay.
Oh, there
you go. So, $30. You know.
How about X-23? Or Old Man Hawkeye. Did you read either of those?
Yeah. I read both of those. What happened? I don't remember.
left an impression.
Yeah. Well, X-23...
She's trying
they to captured, catch up you know, with Gabby. Her little sister there.
Yeah. those creepy girls.
They're trying to make a clone. Like, they're working on cloning and stuff, and they're trying to make, like, bring their sister back. She's kind of like got this thing going where she's like, I don't want to kill anyone, but I'll kill you if you don't release my sister, kind of thing. So she shows up just as they're starting whatever machine it is that's going to, like,
zap, like, use the life juice of Gabby and put it into the oldest one.
The funniest part of this, I don't know why this struck me. It's not even that funny, but, like, she's going through her contacts in her phone, and she's got, like, it's weird. She has, like, Mark Spector, and she has the artist and the writer.
and Wade Wilson.
Yeah, she's got Wade Wilson. She's got Kurt Wagner and Janet Van Dyne, and So, but I like that she has
Tom Taylor,
Tom Taylor and
Ace Pete.
Mariko Tamaki. Tom Taylor actually didn't write this. He was the old writer. I should correct myself there.
Sounds
and Pace Pot Pete.
The new writer's
name. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Is Pace Pot Pete, what does he go by now? Trapster?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Trapster is in Daredevil 607.
Oh, then I'm going to have to pick it up.
Yeah.
And every time it says Trapster, just...
As Daredevil,
cross it out, right? Pace Pot Pete.
No, but he's sure does have a glue gun.
I use a glue gun sometimes.
He's really into crafts.
Yeah,
you know? He's always at Michael's using his 40% off coupon.
40%. His house is just full of crafts, and it's lovely. Actually,
it'd be an interesting neighbor to have. Christmas time, I'm sure it's decked out.
Oh yeah,
you know, with all sorts of crafty kind of stuff he's made with his glue gun.
Like, when he's not, you know, doing evil, he's actually just at home working on his craft.
Yeah, he's waiting to be in Tony Stark's will. We've already established that too.
Well, yeah, maybe he will. He'll be in the, just like Wong will be in the wedding. As he said in Infinity War, Pace Pot Pete, you're in my will.
Yeah, he was only going to be in his will if the adhesive remover worked, and it did. So I'm going to assume that he's in Tony Stark's will now.
I don't remember this joke, but
Captain America's feet got stuck to the ground.
Yeah,
in
and
the he cartoon, took his- and then, like. You know, so then he's like, I'm going to go get Pace Pot Pete to make a adhesive remover. And then it cuts back to Iron Man flying back with it, like, going there. And he's like, if this works, I'm going to name Pace Pot Pete my will. And he comes back, and it worked.
That was in the cartoon?
It was in that 60s cartoon.
Oh.
You know, where they weren't really animated. They were just sort of, you know.
They just moved the mouths and the.
Yeah. And the backgrounds and stuff. But.
I can't
Since
believe
they
you
were
don't remember that,
so
Durst.
Heavily on original comics, he probably said it in the comic book, too. I count it as canon.
it's at least your headcanon. Your headcanon.
Headcanon? Oh, Jesus. That sounds like a Transformer or something. Like he would have a giant
headcanon. Yeah.
That'd be more like a GoBots, actually.
You guys like my Transformer
headcanon
sound?
And Mad Face.
Mad Face. No, there was a Captain America comic book when, like, back in the 80s, I think, where Trapster glued Captain America's shoes to the ground, and then that whirlwind guy was going to cut him up.
Whoa.
And then Captain America literally just jumped out of his shoes.
Yeah, but see, in this, he couldn't do it because it was the adhesive that glued the mask to Baron Zemo. Whatever his name is.
Okay. Yeah, that's Baron Zemo. But
But he, like, because the adhesive was so strong. It's like, mixing up, like, our fake thing with, you know, with the Ultimate Adhesive 2000 with the actual Adhesive X stuff. But, yeah, it went, like, through his shoe. That's how strong it was.
Oh, okay. So he couldn't just jump out of his shoes. No. But I thought it was kind of funny, Captain America fighting barefoot, you know, against these guys.
I'm looking up Pace Pot Pete and Tony Stark's will.
Well, while you're doing that, I don't know what else is there.
I have to mention something.
Oh, please.
G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, 255. People that are fans of classic G.I. Joe need to pick up this issue because it's the last of the special missions issues where they were doing, like, you know, they weren't going to launch another special missions title or anything for G.I. Joe, so they just put it in the Real American Hero ones.
And this one was
Scarlet. And also on the front it says celebrating 100 issues at IDW with this issue, so it's 255.
Oh yeah.
So that's like kind of cool. But this is Scarlet, and it's one of those that's like G.I. Joe like 26 or like 92, like where you like hear and see more about what happened with Snake Eyes and his mask and his face reveal and everything. This is all basically, it's Scarlet, but it's centered around like the Snake Eyes origin story where they're all in the helicopter and they like show the actual scene where he like gets blasted in the face. And they add like he adds like more dialogue to it. It was like more like they had that in like issue 26, but this is like,
yeah, but it was just like Scar or just like Stalker or some telling the story or whatever, right?
And but he turns out it was Scarlet that he was the one that saved, and everybody's like, oh my god, you know like Snake Eyes.
No, that was in it too, wasn't it?
It was Scarlet.
It was Scarlet.
Always Scarlet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. For some reason,
who did you think he was saving?
I thought it was just one of the guys. This is totally like kind of sexist to me. I didn't even think that it possibly could have been Scarlet until just when I read this.
Oh, well, comic books were very sexist.
Yeah, they still are sexy.
What's wrong with sexy? No, I don't know. It never was part of it in my headcanon. I never thought of it that way.
Well, I guess it shows how much you trust your headcanon. This is like your favorite comic in the whole world.
I knew he saved somebody that was important that was on the Joe team, like, you know.
You got a tattoo of Snake Eyes and everything on your arm and stuff.
Well, now
or
I know more. Now I love it even more. And well, you remember how there was
to
a...
turn it in. I'm sorry for not...
Turn it in.
Yeah, turn in your tattoo for not knowing the origin.
And then, so Scarlet, when they get back and his face is all bandaged up, he, like, goes to, kind of like the guy that's on Daredevil, like a guy that like makes costumes and like makes like he makes like movie appliances and stuff, and they make him a master mold of Snake Eyes' original face, but it starts to fall off after like a week, so he has to put on
a Darkman.
Yeah, and then
like a little longer,
and then they have him put his disguise on, and then they like suit him up in the original like Snake Eyes outfit, like from, you know, G.I. Joe number 6 or whatever, you know, like where it has kind of like a ski mask kind of vibe to it. It's pretty awesome. This was like, and do you remember there was like another Snake Eyes between the one that they have now, and there was like I don't know if you remember that, but they like have another guy and his like face was fucked up and he had like,
really?
Yeah. Oh. So Scarlet like gets, she gifts him with a new face in this issue too, which is nice. Hey, I did this for my friend Snake Eyes. I got him a new face. Here's a face for you. I'm giving faces to whoever wants.
And here's a face for you. And here's a face for you.
You look under. Here, God, everybody look under his seat.
You have a new face.
You get a face.
I love this book anyways, but this was like a really good one. It was like super special. It was a special G.I. Joe.
I don't know. How much do you love that book? You didn't even know.
Come on, man.
That's the whole thing with Scarlet and Snake Eyes. I always had like this cool bond.
They were just in love.
Yeah, they're in love, but whatever. I mean, because he saved her.
Well, I knew he saved somebody.
What do we got on Facebook?
I think it's Avengers number 6. Original Avengers number 6, Masters of Evil, but I can't find the actual panel that I'm looking for.
Oh, man. Wow.
You so anyone out there, this stuff about Pastepot Pete, I'm not giving you a hard time.
Yeah, well, that's because Pastepot Pete is awesome.
John knows the history of Pastepot Pete.
Yeah, but you don't.
If anyone out there has that book, please take a picture of it and send that panel in. So we know
like
that it
can
happens.
Find like all these other panels of them like spraying shit on the city and stuff, and but can't find the "He'll Be in My Will."
You're just going to have to get Marvel Unlimited and just look.
You're right.
You're just going to have to look. You're going to have to read some old comics.
Yeah. You know what? I have, I've got that, those black and white reprints.
Yeah. Those, what are they? Essential.
Essentials. Yeah.
So just find the essential Pastebot Pete.
That's so funny because the ones I'm looking at now are like, it's like the essential Ant-Man. Like, why?
I don't think there's anything essential about Ant-Man.
No, but, those are
really, he had a movie, so.
Those comics aren't that good. They're, like, pretty bad.
What, Ant-Man
like,
comics?
Early, like, first Ant-Man comics.
Oh, yeah, I could have told you that.
Ugh. But sometimes you just get the essential on sale.
Is that why he became Giant Man? And then they're like, oh, Giant Man's not that good either. Let's make him Goliath.
I wonder if there's an essential
that's
Giant
not that
Man.
Good. Let's make him Yellow Jacket.
Do you think there's an essential Giant Man?
No, I don't. But
they do. I don't think there's enough for an essential Giant Man.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give it. At least Ant-Man was an original Avenger, but like.
Right.
What did any of his other personas do? Except his Yellow Jacket, he beat up his wife. So, I don't know. I'm not buying Iron Man now, but I saw an ad where it's like, now. I saw like an ad where it's like Tony Stark and the Wasp, you know, Trist. I'm like, hasn't that been going on for like 30 years?
Yeah, it's like a side piece thing. It's like no one talks about it. You know they're banging. There's probably a lot of a lot of superheroes we know banging like all over the place. They just don't make it into the pages. They don't see it.
No. Sneaky. That's no fun. Yeah, sneaky. It's in the fanfic sections of the...
Can I say one positive thing about The Punisher that I thought was that I do like it when these books are more like how the Ultimate Universe used to be, like, you know, like a little grittier like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like. That's what I really liked about The Punisher. I know I said some bad things about the arc, but.
Yeah, I think you said, I don't like anything about this or something.
I did. There was that one thing about it, so, all right. We'll see. What about Darth Vader?
Like, well, I guess you're right. There was probably a point in the 90s where The Punisher wasn't very gritty, but I don't know. I never liked The Punisher until, like, recently, so what do I know? Except I like the John Travolta version. or, I guess, technically Thomas Jane, but only because John and I saw that.
That was a good one.
Had a great
For some
time.
Reason, I was thinking John Travolta as the Punisher when you said that. What's he talking about?
Oh, no. I was counting on you to...
No. Because I was still looking for Pastebot Pete, so I was only, like, half hearing what you were saying.
For a long time, I wanted Stacy to watch Punisher Warzone with me because I loved Rome, and I thought that Punisher Warzone movie was, like, just a stupid, like, dumb, like, action movie, and it had McNulty from The Wire as Jigsaw, and I was like, yeah, look at all these fucking explosions and shit, but then I can't show it to her now because we've seen The Punisher, like, on Netflix, so it's like,
Oh, yeah, you can't go back.
That's her Punisher. I can't convince her that one's good, and she's like, well, it's not the guy from Walking Dead.
But it's the guy, it's, what's his name, who played Volstagg.
Yeah, he does play Volstagg, too.
So, yeah.
Did you guys watch Luke Cage?
Oh, no, I haven't seen the second season of Luke Cage.
It's a slow one, dude. And I can't, I'm actually kind of like, we watch an episode and it's like, why are they talking so much? Oh, my God. and then, I guess on Friday, Iron Fist comes out, which actually looks better this...
He wears his costume now.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the action looks pretty awesome. I think they,
Because they gave him more than 2 weeks to learn how to fight.
Yeah. But also, the story of that last season was fucking weak sauce, man. Weak sauce?
My least favorite of all the sauces.
Weak sauce for the goose. I never watched any of Iron Fist. And somebody said, oh, you should watch some of it just so you can get the deal with the Defenders.
Watch
I was
like the last episode, I guess.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't even care. I didn't think Defenders was that great.
You know what? I didn't watch any of them. I stopped. I stopped after Daredevil Season 2.
That was a good point to stop. Daredevil Season 2 is pretty
Punisher
awesome.
Punisher is good, though, John.
Punisher is good.
I just don't like Punisher as a character very much, so I didn't really have any interest.
It's not too Punisher-y. It's more of like... It is actually a little different of a thing. It's like an HBO like crime story, basically.
I agree with that. It wasn't very Punisher-y. In fact, I was almost hoping for more Punisher-y.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, when's he just gonna blow all these motherfuckers away?
Yeah.
But it was very much a lot of micro, you know, like and stuff. And
but not the fat micro that I have in my head canon.
I don't know who micro is.
Micro is
the microchip guy. Yeah, okay, yeah. I know who he is now. Sorry.
No, but not fat micro. It's skinny, nerdy micro.
Yeah, the Desmond with hot from wife. Girls.
With a hot wife.
Oh, yeah.
That he thinks the Punisher is, like, moving in on and stuff. It's kind of, you know, it's interesting. I liked it. And Season 2 of Jessica Jones, also very good. But, I mean, Luke Cage, it started off great, then got, like, really blah by the end. And then, Defenders, I don't know. That was just kind of blah. I heard so many horrible things. I never watched Iron Fist. Haven't watched any Season 2 of
The best Luke part Cage. Of any of those, like, I would say, like, Daredevil, Punisher, you know, Jessica Jones, top notch. And then the other ones, they're basically just, like, the fight scenes are really, really good. And, like, anytime they do superpowers or whatever, or have some big explosions, that's fun. So it's almost like watching a Transformers movie. Like, you're just like, oh, can we fast forward to where can we just fast forward to where the robots are fighting? Like, that's how I feel about those other ones, like Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Defenders.
Yeah. I mean, I think Luke Cage, like I said, started off good, but then it was always just guys shooting at him and they don't affect, you know what I mean? Like, once you've seen that once, it's kind of like, okay, well, now they keep shooting him up and nothing happens. I mean, it was kind of neat because then they did get, like, that super bullet that, like, actually penetrated his skin or whatever. But
I should say this. Misty Knight is awesome in Season 2 of Iron Fist. She has her, like, mechanical arm and, like, kicks a lot of ass. Like, all of the fight scenes are great. That's what I like.
Wait, she has a mechanical arm in the show too?
Yeah, spoiler. Sorry.
No, it's just funny because they did that in the comic too, and I was like, oh, okay.
It's cool. I mean, you know, it's cool when they do that, like, on TV.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder though, well, I guess we don't wonder. The comics have been just taking after the shows and movies for so long.
I think Misty Knights had that for, like, way before.
All right.
There was
I see what you're saying. I didn't know when she got the
Yeah, I think she's had that for, like, a long time.
Okay. She's a B character, and I said, who
cares?
CD. All right. Well, anything else?
Are you caught up on Darth Vader?
Yeah. Darth Vader is still a pretty decent book, I think.
Oh, it's one of the best.
So, I mean, it's better than any Star Wars movie. Recently. So he's after these two Jedi that were hiding out. There was like a couple. It was like a Jedi couple. Like,
yeah, the guy became a priest and they had a kid.
Yeah. And so he's he hunts them down because that's what he's been doing. And he actually... He corners them and they're going to fight. And he uses the force power they use their own lightsabers to stab each other. Which is pretty violent and kind of cool in my eyes. So, cool. Meanwhile, like, he goes back to the Emperor and he says, okay, look, that's most of the Jedi. There might be a few more floating around somewhere, but we don't know where they are. And what are they going to do anyway? So forget it. Don't worry about it. That part of your mission is done. And he's like, thanks, boss. I wonder, can I have a planet?
Yeah, I need a place.
Yeah.
A place to hang. I will give you Tatooine and you can turn all the sand into glass.
Or he's like, how about Naboo? You like that place? And he's like, no, I don't want those. I want Mustafar. So.
It's great because it's like a full splash page of just Darth Vader looking down. Mustafar.
Well, I think it's kind of because all the Star Wars nerds were always like, why would you want to live on the planet where you got burned alive and all that stuff? So I think they're probably going to try to explain in our headcanon where that, like, why that is and where, you know, like, where that fits in the whole grand scheme of things. So
I like how he gets Padme's ship awarded to him, too. And there's a little droid, like, shining it. And he, like, he's like, I don't want it shined. So
yeah,
he
crushes
the droid instead of, like, just being like, we don't need your services. Go polish the other ship over there. It's just, no, crush that droid.
So, but yeah, I mean, so far, still good. You know,
still
Charles Soule again. That guy is writing everything.
Dude, I think you'll love this, this Daredevil. I'm telling you, get in there.
Well, I mean, I have it in my stack. I'm not really jonesing to read it now that I found out about fake twin Mike Murdock or whatever.
No, it's good. Jones for it. Get caught up.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Buy my book.
Oh, well. Anything else going on? What about you? Come on, John. You must have something going on in the world.
I had some I can't talk about. Okay. I had to sign an NDA for it, but it's cool.
All right. Some it must color be cool. Work.
Yeah.
That NDA stands for not directly applicable. So you can tell
right.
us.
So I'll tell you all about it.
Well, that's good.
Oh, very well. That's exciting. I can't wait to hear what it is.
It's like fine.
It's good.
I mean, I don't have much to do with it. I do cover and stuff, but, you know, something. It's cool. So, you know, there's a shit ton of stuff that I've lettered for Viz coming out because I just work all the time lettering. So buy my book.
Buy all the books.
Yeah, buy some. Give me a second. I'll come up with whatever I'm working on.
Wait.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Combat Jacks. I think the trade's coming out soon.
Yes, Mark McKenna, our boy.
Yeah, Blue Exorcist. Buy that. Buy My Hero Academia, which apparently is a big hit.
People love that.
And I also do My Hero Vigilante and Splatoon and Yu-Gi-Oh book and Yo-Kai Watch. And some other stuff. So that's what I can think of off the top of my head.
Bless you.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
and then you're working on all these Star Blazers models.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And Clay, you'll be, if I get around to doing it, like I have this idea of taking an A-10 Warthog and converting it into the Cobra Rattler.
Oh, yes. So, do that.
Currently, how are you going to, how does that work?
Well, it's the plane that it was based on. So you just added you just move the engines from the back to the wings and you add one more engine and you put a little cockpit with, you know, the gun turret. And
the gun,
Yeah, you got your...
Paste P comes over and does all the finishing touches with the glue.
Glues it together for me.
Yeah.
No wonder you... that's it. That's why you like Paste Pot P so much.
Yeah.
It's the models.
We have an adhesive thing going.
You're stuck together.
We bond over adhesives.
You're stuck together. It? Yeah.
Bond, yes. Very good.
Oh, yes, we are stuck.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, Cliff Jumper, yes.
Very well, indeed. Thank you.
Sorry.
I was listening to the Flophouse podcast this past week, and there was I can't remember even what movie they were doing, but there was a part where one of the guys was talking about, like, oh, it's like this guy, he's not like he goes around pretending to be a homeless guy and then he comes back and cleans himself up, like, and he's actually a real rich guy. Like, what's his, whatever the character's name in Wildcats number one. I was like, wow, that is the deepest of all cuts I've ever.
Wow.
And I couldn't stop laughing about
it. Oh, like, Darson, you and Paul were talking about, you and Pope were talking about Wildcats or Wild Storm or something.
Well, yes.
That got me thinking about that. That is a really deep cut.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, people
And I laughed hysterically at it, but like Jen, I was like, I kind of had to explain the reference, but I just couldn't do it because I had forgotten about it myself.
Yeah, I mean, that was from what, like 30 years ago almost.
Yeah, almost.
It's not even that long ago.
Yeah, right. We should actually talk for a second, Clay, because Clay and I went to see a live podcast.
Oh, yeah, The Greatest Generation.
Yeah.
I don't know. So nothing against those guys, but I have a question about live podcasts.
I have a question.
Well, I mean, I want to say something about live. I mean, I guess you could compare it to like going to see like a stand-up comedian or something, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's different because those guys like have bits.
Material.
And they've practiced these and whatever. Like if we went and sat on a stage and just did this.
First of all, no one would show up.
Well, exactly. But I mean, even if they did show up, they'd probably be pretty bored, right? Because when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm usually doing other things, right? I don't just listen to a podcast.
Right.
I'm at work or I'm on the treadmill or whatever.
Or both. You're working and you're on the treadmill.
Oh, when I'm on the treadmill, it's hard work because I'm out of shape. So, but you know what I mean? Like it's weird to me to sit there and like they did show clips. So they were talking about Star Trek 2.
And they wrote. I mean, that was all scripted. Like
there was stuff.
Well,
that was scripted.
They filmed Star Trek 2. They had a script for it. Yeah,
right. But they showed a few clips. But I feel like you know, like nothing against those guys. They were very funny. But like you almost have to. I think you have to involve the audience a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like if we were going to do that, not that we would, no one would show up, like you said, because no one listens.
You are also, I'm not disagreeing with you, but you are also somebody that doesn't listen to their podcast and I brought you to it. So you probably had a different experience than other people there did.
Clearly people were really, everyone was laughing and some people, even like they were bits that they were, now it's time for our, whatever they call it when they take a tweet or whatever. But I feel like they should have like actually asked questions of the people who are sitting there. Or, you know what I mean? Maybe involve the people a little bit. But you're right. I don't listen, so I don't really know what their shtick is. But I don't know.
They did all of Next Generation, like an hour-long podcast, like the way that we saw them do it. And then they are doing Deep Space Nine right now. And they do Discovery. They have like another podcast that's just Discovery, Greatest Discovery.
Wow.
Are they going to do Toss?
They tend to not really like Toss.
I can't listen to them.
Toss shows.
Wow.
Episodes. But they did First Contact, was the last live show they did. And this time they did Wrath of Khan, which, you know, obviously is a Toss cast. You know?
Yeah, obviously, Toss.
But they like
they did know. Obviously, they know like where Khan. You know, like they.
But they don't. Yeah. They don't really know as much about the original series as like you know any one of us would know because they're like basically next generation fans.
Because they're younger, not old folks, I guess.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I mean, you know, the other thing that I was thinking about, remember that guy when we were doing Boston Comic Con a couple years ago and there was that fucking guy who was selling his Star Trek shit next to us and like stealing our
guy was the worst.
Customers. He was so annoying. But it's like when you like Star Trek will always get you fans. You know what I mean?
Think
like
that's why they have three shows. You know what I mean?
Like you cannot fail because Star Trek people will watch or listen to anything that you put
I would do a Star Trek podcast with Clay now that he's becoming a Star Trek fan.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely do that.
You'll definitely get fans. Like,
it's that's why we have to do it. Like, I want to be part of a podcast that does well.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
And I don't have to read dumb comics. I just have to watch dumb Star Trek. I would do the entire animated series. I would review each episode. Oh, those are rough, but
how many are there?
There's only 22 episodes. So, but if you look at the 3-foot Enterprise
canon.
Model, they are canon. And then the 3-foot Enterprise model that I've built, the refit in the shuttle bay, I put the Aqua shuttle from the animated series in there. I bought a 3D printed Aqua shuttle in that scale and put it in there.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
did you buy that?
On Shapeways.com.
Nice. So someone 3D printed a little tiny
that's a
shuttle
from
the Star Trek animated series.
Yeah. He also has some other shuttle from that, too.
See, still, even that shuttle has a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, it's so funny.
And then when I posted it on a Star Trek model page, and the guy who I bought it from, he's like, "Hey, you bought the 3D side. That's my thing. I made that. Cool." So, like, that's interesting. That's weird too. That, like, you happen to see it, but cool.
My favorite Star Trek podcast is like Wood. It solves the problem exactly. It's like, it's called Random Trek. So they pick an episode of either any of the television series or the animated series, and they pick it at random for the host, and then the host that is regularly there, and then their guests like have to watch it, and then so that it could be Voyager, it could be the animated series, it could be like whatever. It's pretty funny how they do it.
All right, yeah, well, we'll launch our new Star Trek podcast pretty soon.
Random Trek 2, the Wrath of stealing someone else's idea.
I think we could come up with something better than that, but yeah. Not much better.
That's a good way to jump around all the different time, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, there's so many different series.
Yeah.
I hope they do the animated.
I'm mostly familiar with the original series and kind of Next Generation.
Yeah. So. And the movies, but nobody
does.
Well,
the movies, I count that as original series.
So. Oh, I see.
Headcanon.
You know what I mean? It's almost like, I guess like there's a podcast for everything, but we were just like, we're going to just do comics. You know what I mean? And it's this blanket, you know, like giant thing that.
I've come up with a Star Trek podcast.
We should have just done Star Trek or Buffy or you know what I mean? Like, just called it a day. If you want to get people to actually listen to you, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
But it's whatever. It's just, I don't know. It just struck me. It's neither good nor bad.
Start Wreck.
And there's a zillion Star Wars podcasts as well, of course.
Yeah. Well, John and I could go a long time if you wanted to do Last Jedi podcast. Yeah. We'll just talk about how shitty it is. Mr. Plinkett's
Red Letter Media review of that just came out recently.
I just started watching it, and then I was like, stopped. I stopped watching it because he was like, when he goes back to like his fictional existence. And now that I know like what the guy looks like, it's like totally different for me.
Wait, what is this?
Well, like when they show, he's like, my son, and they show him like with like a mugshot of his son or something.
Star Wars: The Last Jedi is the worst thing since my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, they did another, like, Red Letter Media did like another thing, or
it was like the thing that kicked off Red Letter Media was the Mr. Plinkett reviews.
Oh, okay. They
like Phantom Menace and the couple of the Next Generation movies and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.